Matthew chapter 5 this morning. No salt, no light. Nothing happened to the Bible. I just didn't bring them with me today. And, I love doing, if you're ever with young people, doing teaching, doing a lesson, object lessons, man. You almost don't even have to have and you just bring the object and talk about it, you know. And the kiddos, how many of y'all remember doing show and tell? Doing show and tell in school? And teacher would give you a theme or whatever. I just remember she's a classmate of mine, graduate high school, Melissa Dollar, but I just remember I was like second grade, third grade. We had tigers. It was tigers. So we all had to bring a tiger, and I had a I can't remember what I had. I think it was just a plastic tiger or whatever. But man, I was next. I was, you know, A, B, C, D, F, G. Close, and I was behind her as we were going out that quarter. Like, just be done already. Just be done. I wanted to tell me. Talking about her tiger. I want to talk about my tiger. Just be done. But, amen. Objects are pictures that help us see. The Lord is great at that in teaching with objects and using those illustrations. We're going to be in verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to get down through probably verse 25. We're going to jump back to Genesis for an illustration, and then we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Our word for today is reconcile. Word for today is reconcile. We are looking here at the Sermon on the Mount, and covers three chapters of the book of Matthew, and we've seen the Beatitudes, the folks that are blessed, the mindsets or the attitudes, as some preachers would listen to men like Leonard Ravenhill. And so it talks about the Beatitudes, their attitudes we're supposed to have, you know, towards people and towards the Lord, toward His Word. For example, being a peacemaker. When it just looks like you have two parties fighting, you say, well, where's the peacemaker? The peacemaker isn't the one that decides the winner. They're the ones trying to find, you know, not trying to, you know, the word compromise. Well, you go to D.C. and you got to compromise, right? You got to give it something. I don't know. How can you stay true if you compromise? Abortion was to go some abort. No, that's compromising. There's no compromising in that. But you have to continue to bring that message and be the peacemaker. Not an easy thing. We'll see some of that this morning. As we look at this word, reconcile. Verse number 17 says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Jesus had given this illustration in verse number 13 through 16, talking about salt. He said, you're the salt of the earth, and then light, you are the light of the world. Hasn't mentioned anything about the Old Testament except for verse number 12 that said, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's the only mention that he talks about the Old Testament in this passage so far. Verse 17 says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. And I'm wondering if Jesus looked at them and could tell they were wondering, what is he talking about? Does this go against the things that we've been taught before? And he said, no. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, if we're just the New Testament, the Old Testament, say, no, he's come to fulfill it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but he's come to fulfill it. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. We'll have a word of prayer and then continue today. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Father, we do pray for hearts today. As we look at this word, Father, in this theme for this morning is reconcile. Father, you ask us to be salt and you ask us to be light. Father, we carry a message of healing and a message of hope, a message of salvation. And Father, as a salt with a savor with this message, Father, that we would desire to see it effective on this earth, help us, Lord, to be potent in that, and I pray that you would use us in our hearts. Lord, if there be one here today without salvation, Father, we pray that you would draw them to yourself. We pray for our young people downstairs, Lord. And we have our young people. Lord, some of them getting old enough to understand. We just pray that you'd work in their heart for salvation, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. If he's fulfilling it, it can't change. It can't change while he's fulfilling the law. And he's not going to change it to make it be what he'd have it to be to fit his agenda. That's the beauty of the Word of God, is it is consistent from the beginning all the way to the end. The themes are the same. The teachings are the same. They never, anybody that says there's a problem with the Bible or there's contradictions in the Bible hasn't been taught by the Holy Ghost of God, because the Holy Ghost asked men to pen. Men from different generations, men from different ethnicities, men who lived in different parts of the world. And they all wrote the same thing. They all wrote the same thing. They kept it the same. And the Old Testament looks towards the Lord coming. And the New Testament looks back to the cross and what Jesus has done. It's an amazing book. But he says nothing is going to change. Nothing. None of it is going to pass until it has all been fulfilled. The Bible says his word is forever settled in heaven. Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. Okay? We're talking about truth tonight, tonight's message. But being all sorts of crazy stuff taught. Crazy stuff. Parents, you gotta reinforce the Word of God at home. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Pastor talked about the home during couples retreat. I said, you've got to do it. I have to. And again, there's no right, wrong, or indifferent. When you choose to put your kids in whatever schools, you're responsible for what they get. You're responsible for what they get. I mean, one of the things I was listening to this week, they're talking about the kids in the some school, some states in no school. I haven't had a school for a year. So no education for a year. And then they talk about something I hadn't thought about was nutrition. Some of those kids, they don't get the food that they would normally get, except they get it at school. And they have that for a whole year. And they think like, yeah, that's real. I mean, that's real. We see it, right? We see it. That's the real deal. They go and they get breakfast at school and they get lunch at school. Last year, President Trump had signed it was an executive order per se, but anyways, paid the farmers and the kids in the school system. They got, and it didn't matter if you like qualified or not. You got breakfast or lunch. And we typically do after. It was an incredible service. I was like, wow, you know. And I told the kids, it's like, typically, you know, it was like a treat, I guess. I don't know. Well, however you look at it. Right? Typically, you get cold lunch, right? You go to school, you get hot lunch, whatever. Like, President Trump, so you guys can get hot lunch if you want. They're like, yay! All the kids would vote for President Trump. They all get hot lunch and breakfast. But praise the Lord. No school. What are they hearing? What are they being taught? They are in school. What are you hearing? What are you being taught? It's something that you have to ask every day. They come home every day. What'd you learn? What'd you hear? And sometimes, maybe it's short, maybe it's not a whole lot, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But they'll be talking, and they'll say, well, teacher said today that, right? So it's a public school. You can go and sit in class. You can't just walk in the school and say, let me in the class, but you can go and talk to them, hey, can I come and sit? Oh, yeah, it's your right to do that. You can go do it. Well, we're teaching that you just kind of showed up here, and you kind of, or you know, if you feel like being, and I praise God where the kids are at right now, that we do not deal with some of the stuff that's being spewed. I mean, nobody's brought a whiteness scale sheet home. A joke about that. That's just insane. Nobody's brought a sheet home saying, well, what do you feel like you are? You feel like you're a boy? Do you feel like you're a girl? We have to teach those things from the Word of God. The Bible says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. What is it about sin that we feel like we get into sin, if we can spread it around like peanut butter and jelly on a piece of bread, we make ourselves feel better. If we get other people mired in it too, then we're like, well, we're not the only ones. What is it about that? So we're going to teach others also to break God's word, that God's word isn't true, or it'd be okay if we break it in just this little part over here, we go against God here. The Bible says, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So verse 19 finishes, verse 19 is just like how he finishes chapter number 7. Those that hear my word and continue in them, those that hear my word and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man, the word of God says. Verse 20 says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right? Here's people held up in men's eyes, esteemed to be righteous people. You think, well, they're smart people. Man, they're elected officials. These are smart people. Congressmen and congressmen. Some of those people are the dumbest people walking this planet right now. They're just dumb. Like I feel that because I look at them and think, are all people where you're elected like you? Do they all think like you? I'd never go where you're from. I said, because the things you espouse are horrible. Anti-God, anti-country, anti-people. It's terrible. I mean, it is just, it's insane. I just want to look in their brain and think, what happened to you? They never got to go to Sunday school, maybe. Maybe nobody ever told them about Jesus. Maybe they did. And they hate whatever decisions they make. It's terrible. Just because you're put up on a pedestal by men doesn't mean you're righteous. Doesn't mean you're smart. Doesn't even mean that you're worthy to be there. He's telling the disciples here, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes. And no, God is not asking us to compare. He doesn't ask us to do this. People take that and do it. It's the wrong message. If I ever preach a message where you feel like you got to look at somebody and do just a little bit, no, you come and tell me, but preacher, I thought you preached on comparison there and you're teaching us to compare ourselves with others. That's not good. That is not the way we're supposed to do things. What he's saying is, look at their righteousness. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says it's as filthy rags if it's built on self. There is no righteousness without the Lord Jesus Christ. So if they claim to have some, we'll look at it and be like, well, if that's righteousness without Christ, we know it's nothing. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness, ye shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven. How are we going to think like the Lord Jesus? How are we going to act like the Lord Jesus would have us to act if we don't accept Him and accept His teachings and practice them? How can we do it? Here's these people doing things that weren't. And Jesus takes a hack at the heart in these three chapters. It's the difference. Well, I followed everything according to the letter. No, we want to know what was in your heart. How many of you have ever done the thing you're supposed to do and in your heart you're against it the whole way, right? And all God's teenagers said amen, right? I mean, it's like, I'll do it, but I'll hate it, right? God says, I want it to be right in your heart or don't do it. Oh, wow, that's different. That's different. And we talk about, all the different things coming here in chapter 5, divorces, these different things. Like, well, I didn't do this or this. And what was in your heart? What was in your heart? God wants our heart. The Bible says, you've heard, verse 21 says, you've heard that it was said by them of old time. That phrase is going to be said over and over again. You've heard it said. You've heard it. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Right? Didn't kill anybody, right? Not telling people about the Lord. Lord, we're all sinners. But I don't know. Never killed any. Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. You've heard that said by them of old time. Verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, you can take that to be your literal brother. You can take that to be your brother in the Lord. You can take that to be your brother in humanity. I mean, sometimes you can be, why'd you call him your brother? They're not a Christian. Like, I don't know. But it's intriguing to me when I meet somebody and you talk and you like find common ground or common whatever and you go to leave or whatever, says, have a good day, brother. I mean, they just say that to you and I just don't feel compelled to point a finger at him and say, I'm not your brother, all right? I just don't. Like, hey, see it. But for whatever reason, you say, well, this only works if this is your biological brother or, back in the Old West, your blood brother or whatever it is. I'm not going to get weird like that today, okay? But I'm just saying, I consider like your neighbor, Okay? You're angry with them without a cause. Okay? Sometimes you're angry with them, and then there should be a cause. There should be. Why would you? And does the Bible ask us to be angry with our neighbor? Look what the Bible says here in 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, okay? That doesn't cause us to quit worshiping God, but we're going to act like there's no problem. Right? And this is huge for conflict resolution. Well, I got social media, so I'm just going to go out and tell the world about it. No, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't do that. That's dumb. Don't do that. That hurts God. That hurts God's picture. That hurts God's testimony. Don't do that. The Bible tells us here exactly how we should do it. The Bible says in verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother. Then come offer thy gift. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you. My brother's a dirty, rotten rat. I pray that you'd make it rain on him all days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's like, oh yeah, I'm with you. No. God, we pray you would, San Francisco would fall off into the ocean. Lord, they're all talking about it. It could happen at any time. We just, nobody would even know it was you. Just, big earthquake, Lord, like an 8. And Lord, we just pray. No. Now, I guarantee I've had that thought cross my mind, but there's good people in California. I'm just saying. It's like, well, if we just get, nope, you're falling in the trap of the cancel culture, right? That's the cancel culture. That's just speaking. I say, like, oh, let's cancel, right? Let's just make them. No effect. Can't hear anything. We took them off everything. Can't hear them. It's like they're not even there. No, it's true. They are there. God loves them. God cares about them. So I'm going to cancel them. I have to go to them. I got to go to them? That means I'm going to have to look at them. Yeah, I know. I have to actually talk to them. I know. God's given you a mouth, and you can talk to them. And He's given you the Holy Spirit of God. We should be able to humble ourselves and let God lead and, in the end, be reconciled. It's one of the greatest things God's called us to do as Christians is to help reconcile. Help reconcile. First, be reconciled to thy brother. You want to keep from having to sit in the having to reconcile in your own life and have it be a big part of your own life. Don't say things that will cause you to be divided with people close to you. Don't say things that will cause division. Don't say things that will drive a wedge. Why do we have this, when we go to 2 Corinthians, you see here this ministry of reconciliation? Because the fall of man, our relationship with God has been separated. And we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell people about salvation. And we're trying to bring two groups back together. That's why the peacemakers are blessed. And he says, you need to be reconciled. But I got a gift. I've come to worship. He's saying it's no good. Obedience is better than what? It's better than sacrifice. Oh, I saved all these animals. Yeah, but you weren't supposed to. Yeah, but I saved all these animals. No, it's not right. I should have killed every last one of them. Well, what a waste. It's not a waste. It's God's way. God asks us to do something. We need to do it. It needs to be our way. We need to own that. Verse 25, agree with thine adversary quickly. Sounds like compromise, Brother Keith. No. You need to reconcile, though. Even if it's to agree to disagree. You go away hating them, you're wrong. You go away thinking less and putting them down, you're wrong. Because there is nothing that makes us, ideas don't make people better. I'm better than them because I have better ideas than them. No, I mean, God, if God's the only thing that's good, and I can show God to them by my actions, by my words, what's better? Or just say, oh, I got better ideas than you. Well, you don't like my ideas. I'm gonna cancel you, so you don't. Your ideas can't be shared. Discourse is huge in this country. Put forth ideas. You know they're bad when everybody goes like this, right? But you don't try to stop that idea from being there. And that's what we're seeing today. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, the judge deliver thee to the officer. Thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Reconcile. It's not the easiest thing. It's tough. Sometimes it goes for years. Sometimes it's in families and it goes for years. All that needs to be heard is, I'm sorry. I messed up. If you mess up, boy, man, go right away. I don't like having to go and do that. I just don't. My human nature, I just don't. I'm not like, oh man, I can't wait to get up today so I can go and make things right. No, I just rather keep things right so I don't have to go and make things right. It's better. It's hard though. I mean, sometimes you don't say that. You have to apologize if you say that. Don't do it. It was hard. I held back, but man, no, I don't have to go and try to make peace. But sometimes we need to go make peace, and we need to pray for peace. We need to pray for people that they could be reconciled. We're going to look for illustration here back at Genesis chapter number 4 real quick, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We'll be done this morning. The reconciliation. And God's glad you want to worship. That's great. It's wonderful. But man, if we have things in our life that we're supposed to be reconciling, we're supposed to bring union between two parties, even if us is one of the parties, we need to do that. We need to do that. Here, Genesis 4. Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived. Bare Cain, verse 1 says, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, the Bible is an impressive book. We have birth, and we have their jobs, their things of employment, all in the same verse, right? There are a lot of time that goes by in verse 2. We have their birth, and then it says, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Well, he didn't come out with a sheep, and he didn't get a stuffed sheep when he was born from the gift department at the hospital or anything like that. But it's saying, well, this was his occupation. Verse 3, in the process of time. There's a lot that goes on in that process of time. So we raise our kids, we are teaching them what's right and what's wrong. Parents, I mean, you've come against opposition in the home before, right? A young person wants to dig their heels in, right? Yeah, it's going to happen. But you still got to teach, and you still got to do these things that are right in the process of time. And you're showing them God's way. You're showing them the right thing to do. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Why would he do that? Why would Cain bring an offering at all to the Lord? I guarantee that his parents, in the process of time, taught him and said, look, we need to bring our first fruits to the Lord and then give them to God. God's the one that made us. God made us. God made me. I mean, think about the doctrine, right? Adam, God made me out of dirt. And then he put me to sleep and took a rib out and made your mom. I mean, think about the stories. I mean, it's just like, wow, that's incredible, Dad. That is amazing, right? And you're the first. I mean, Dad, how come we don't have any friends? They're just not here yet, you know? I mean, it's like, it was different, but you're still teaching, right? In the process of time, you're teaching them and said, look, God made us. We are going to give back to God. We're going to bring an offering to Him. So I don't think Cain woke up one day and turned a rock over and, you know, or ate a fortune cookie and said, this is what we're doing. No, I said, his parents taught him, this is what we're supposed to do. I mean, how many of you taught your kids tithing where you said, all right, this is how you do it. Well, how much is 10% if you get it? You break it down to them, right? Start with a dollar and tell them it's a dime or whatever you got to do, but you have to teach them those things. I don't just wake up and say, oh, we're this. No, we got to be taught these things in the process of time. The Bible says that he brought an offering unto the Lord, but he brought it to the fruit of the ground, right? And we know from chapter 3 that that's not going to satisfy a picture for God. Verse 4, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Okay? Now the Lord says, if we bring that gift to the altar, we have aught against our brother. Okay? We gotta leave the gift there. He says, go reconcile thyself to your brother. He says, then you give your offering. does no good to offer unto God when we're holding back from God the things that He asks us to have. He asks us to have good relationships. Us having good relationships with our family members is a picture of having a good relationship with God. Because the family back then was just man, woman, and God. And was the relationship broken? Yeah, it was over time. It was broken. And God had to go looking for them. He knew where they're at, but He had to go looking for them to try to figure out if they knew where they were at. How do you like life without me? How do you like being separated from me? And if they were honest, they'd say, well, this isn't good. This isn't what we think we should have. The Bible says in verse number 5, unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, it doesn't say in there, sometimes in the Bible, say, what does it say, what does it doesn't say? It doesn't say in there that, you know, Cain was angry at his brother yet. Okay? But there was a difference. Somebody did what God asked, and the Bible said there was respect given. And somebody didn't do what was asked, and there wasn't respect given. Okay? Now, the Lord sees all things. He sees all things. And He's the one here in this example for our illustration this morning that's going to go and work at this reconciling, right? He's going to go. And verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Okay. The Bible tells us, don't be angry against your neighbor without a cause. Right? Somebody comes, shows up angry. How do you know where to start unless you can figure out why they're angry? Right? I mean, Mrs. Garner the other day, she's like, does the moose walk into the backyard? Normally they're out there just milling around. This one had its ears down, and it's like walking at the house and thinking, like, what is going on? You know, somebody throwing stuff at, like, what's going on? You know, and it's just calf had gone across the road on the other side of the house and crossed the road and, you know, and look, where's baby going? Blah, blah, blah. You know, just they're not so baby now, but anyways. But you try to figure out, why are you upset? What's the problem? Then you like try to see, what can we do to make this situation fixed? What can we do to fix this thing? So the Lord asked the question, said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? Because it shows up where? It shows up on your face. No smile, short words, I don't know. Blood pressure's up. Maybe your head turns red. I don't know. Get upset. Stop laughing. It does happen. Starts in your toes. It just like works your way up. Verse 7, he says, if thou doest well. What happens when we get angry? Do we look at ourselves? No. Whatever that object of anger is, right? Usually in somebody else. That person. The Lord says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. That's one of the things I love about the teaching how to teach somebody in the Scripture. God doesn't just blast people. He asks them questions. Jesus asked a lot of questions. Why? To make people think. Make you think. Doesn't just say, rah, he just says, hey, if you do the right thing, isn't it going to be well with thee? Oh, yeah, it would be. What's the right thing to do? I'll bring a blood sacrifice. We don't have time to go into that today, but we know that was what was needed. We know that Jesus didn't go and kill turnips and beets and carrots and cover Adam and Eve and cabbage leaves, right? Animals had to die. Blood had to be shed. Animals that didn't do anything wrong. Animals that was just being animals that God made and said, Adam, name them, and he did. Now they have to die for no reason, right? No, they need to die for a covering. And he didn't use vegetables and plants to do it. Things that would fade away, things that didn't have blood in them anyway. Cain knew this. Somewhere in Cain's heart, Cain said, my way is going to work. I think, right? I think. I saw a shirt, it was today or yesterday. It said, think before it's illegal. Think before it's illegal. The idea is that you're dangerous thinkers, right? You guys are thinking not how we want you to think. I mean, think police is real. It's a real thing. I mean, it goes on in other places of the world. And the influence right? In China, you get your social score. You gotta go certain places. You gotta do this. Gotta do that, and then you'll be rewarded. Will that not change the way you think? Oh yeah, it will. I'm gonna do this, but I better not because guys are everywhere. It's so weird. That's so creepy and weird. Anyways, you think, well, I'm gonna bring this anyway. Don't. What did God say? What did God say? What did He say? You know, you get a kid one to just, I said, what did Coach say? I can't believe I got to run. This is the stupidest thing. What did he say? He told everybody. He said it like 10 times. Isn't that hard? And somebody thought in their mind, well, I'm going to do it my way. And you think there's going to be no consequence for it. No consequence? Like, what? Where do you live? Who teaches? Yeah, it's probably like nobody teaches them. Nobody shows them. Like, there's a consequence. There's a consequence. You make a decision, there's going to be a consequence for it. And you're paying for it, and you don't like it. But back here, you could have made the decision. Boy, if I'd have chose to just obey, if I'd have chose to do the thing that God said was right, things would be well. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? We got to do things a certain way to be accepted with God. Yeah. He don't accept your ideas. He accepts His. People don't like. They don't like it. They want there to be all kinds of ways, all their own ideas. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. He said, don't you see it's sin working here? If you choose not to do the right thing. The Bible says, and unto thee shall be His desire. Thou shalt rule over him. Sin will that just destroy us. It's like it destroys our country when people turn away from God. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well. See, it was his choice. It was Cain's choice. And we know what happens in verse 6. He goes out and he kills his brother. Kills his brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're done this morning. Bring an offering, the Bible says. Leave here thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Now, you know what happens. You go and apologize to somebody that never knew you did anything wrong to them. It's a little awkward. It's a little weird. It's a little this. It's a little that. But it's the right thing to do. Gives your conscience a lift. It helps you. It helps them to see that I don't know what it is about humility that some people think, well, if I show humility, everybody will think I'm weak. And when you actually practice that, even ungodly people will say, wow, that was pretty impressive. Somebody would humble themselves and say, it's just unpracticed. It's unseen today. Very much they say, you know what I did? I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Instead, it's just, well, I got to defend this. I got to defend my position or pretend it didn't happen or like, no, said I made a mistake. Human, messed up, made a mistake. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, verse we know very well. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New creatures think differently. Praise God for that. Man, God's helped me think about things differently in a lot of ways. The Bible says in verse number 18, all things are of God. All things. So what you think about this thing, if you do not consider God's position on it, that's something you want to check off first. Well, what's God say about this? Okay, then let's stay within those parameters at least. We cross the boundary on that when he says all things are of God. Boy, we risk a whole lot. He has authority. He has supreme ownership. Verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Right? We can't give Christ to others, but we can tell people about Jesus Christ. We can't make people get saved, but we can tell people about the one who saves. That's the ministry. He says, man, go to him. Go to your brother. Reconcile. Reconcile. Say, man, I am so sorry if I offended you. I am so sorry if I did this thing wrong. I am so sorry. I mean, think about Abel for a second. Put yourself in Abel's shoes. Okay? And Abel sees Cain's sacrifice, and maybe Abel was a little like, man, what's he doing? What's going on? Maybe Abel's feeling bad because he's like, man, he was there. We all heard the same thing, what we're supposed to do. You think about, well, Cain didn't have any animals and couldn't get any. No, that's not true. It's not true. He had goods. I mean, he had the first trade going on there, right? And get the animals. It's not that he, what I have's not good enough. I'm not good enough, right? Again, goes back to us, pride being lifted up instead of being humble and obeying. We have the trouble there. The Bible says in verse 18, a ministry has been given to us, a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, to wit, W-I-T, it means to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, what do I tell them? You don't even have to come up with it. I mean, you just show them from here. You just tell them the story about Jesus. You just tell them. He said, when we are all like sheep gone astray, that's every one of us. I'm no better. I'm saying, but here, this is it. And we're trying to help people be reconciled back to God. That's why God says, boy, if it's just like the next, he's going to hit on the marriage relationship. If our brothers can't get along, right? If we can't get along with the humans that we're living on earth with, what's the picture like? We're going to be in heaven and we're going to be together and we're going to be, right? It's all broke. It's broken. So people can get along. People can get along. Understand, for what's going on in the nation now, there has to be conflict to drive their agenda. You short-circuit it by being peaceful, by being kind, by loving, not rolling over, by standing up for the truth, and not going along with the hate. That's how you short that stuff. That's the way it works. It's past, oh, if I just do this one thing, this may happen. No, you have to do exactly what the Bible, this is the only thing. And it will show how strong it is. Just look at this. Some of these people just want to hate people. And I am naive. I say, no, people aren't like that. People aren't like that. Are they really like that? They're like that. They're just like that. Then they want to destroy people. The Bible says in verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He's telling these people at Corinth, look, God has reconciled us to himself. Be reconciled to God. Get back in union with God. That means I got to submit to God and his righteousness. Yes, it does. But the benefits and the blessings of being God's child are just there. It's what is better? There's nothing better. Be reconciled to God. Verse 21, and we're done. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That is what God was willing to do to reconcile. I mean, when you think about God's love, why? I don't know why. But he said, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to become sin for them that we could be back in union and made them perfect to start with, right? And then we broke the relationship. And all that's passed down to us. God says, I want to be in union with them again. I want them to choose me. I want them to love me. And I will send my son. The Bible says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is in Jesus Christ. That's what I mean. That's the message that we share. That's the message. That's what we share to people. Look, be reconciled. It's like, well, we got a better church than you got. No, it's not about church. Oh, we got a better Bible. No, it's not about. It is about this message of reconciliation. And then you do it in another country. It just means you got to learn another culture and another language to go and share this same message, to be reconciled. It's huge. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is almost like going through Genesis again and teaching them. It says, look, this is what you need. Well, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to tell him this. But I got out against my brother here. That's not going to work. If you're breaking the pictures in your life, how can you be effective in sharing that story with somebody else? He said, leave your gift. Go make it right. Now listen, you go and apologize. Somebody said, I won't forgive you. Just like you can't lead somebody you can't make somebody trust Jesus Christ. You can witness to them. You can tell them about, the Lord, but you can't make them in their heart trust Christ. They have to make that decision to do that. That's why you can't be, oh, I'm such a failure because I didn't save people. That doesn't, no! You tell them and be faithful. Let God work and do the work. And then it's of God, and then it's awesome. Right? I mean, you think, well, I did this and I didn't. You know, 3 weeks later, you're not to be found anywhere and you feel like a big, what happened? Right? Let God do the work. You go and reconcile. If they say, I won't forgive you, then you just pray for that. But you've done your part to go and reconcile. And be open. You never want to burn bridges with people. Never, ever, ever burn them. Never. Why? God said, and burn those bridges down. No. And show them. No. Young people, burning bridges means you tell somebody, I hate your guts. And you walk across the bridge and you burn it so you can never go back and say, I'm sorry. Right? And that's kind of the picture of it. He said, don't ever do that. Leave it there so you can have a day. One day you go back and say, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Simple things like that are what show people the Lord Jesus Christ. You could preach 1,000 messages. And if you're not willing to go across the road and forgive somebody, I mean, that's where you're really going to reach them. They said, wow, he's talking about it. He's showing me, or she's showing me, the Lord Jesus. Let's stand this morning. Let's sing our song, Invitation. Wasn't sitting at home getting ready for this morning thinking, oh, boy, if I could just get so... I don't think like that. I don't do anything. We just preach it. We're going through the Bible. Lord willing, next week we'll go a little bit further into chapter 5, right? I don't know what God has for you this morning. That's one of the crazy things about church. You don't know! Oh, Holy Spirit, how are you going to work in everybody? I don't know! I just pray that He does. And then when He does, I just pray that you let Him, right? Change you and make you the way He'd have you to be. I need Thee every hour is where we're at. 97 this morning. 97, if you need to pray, or if you need me, would you come this morning? I need Thee every